Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In my 16 years of serving the Lord as a pastor, I must admit there are some words that I hear, perhaps too frequently, that don't sound too good in my ears. They can even be disturbing. Those words I'll mention in a moment, but they're filled usually with confidence, but yet they reveal a great weakness. They are spoken by many well-meaning Christians. Some may be going in for surgery. Some may have suffered a significant loss. Some are not attending church very much. Some, even from the surface, look like they are really strong Christians. What are those words that are often hard for me to hear? The words are simple. They're, "Pastor, don't worry about me. I will be fine." Now, that might seem like good words and reassuring words that God's people may be saying to their pastor. But why are they often difficult? Well, of course, they are well-intended. Those saying them want to believe that they're resilient and that they've gotten everything in their life in order. After all, they're Christian. And Christians need to be strong, right? They don't need help from anyone. All that screaming inside, all that pain that one is enduring, we've got to repress it, we think, and show the world and our brothers and sisters in Christ, and most especially our pastor, that we're tough, that we're strong, that we're unwavering Christians. After all, isn't that the way it should be for the Christian? Everything in order, everything good, isn't that how we're supposed to be? But recall the words of Jesus when he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. And who's a sinner? We all are. Those who think that they are righteous are not righteous by any stretch of the imagination. And so Jesus wants all of us, for we are all sinners, to be shepherded. And when you are shepherded, when you are receiving the means of grace, when your pastor has visited with you, given the word to you, prayed with you, communed you, and then the pastor departs, it is music to the pastor's ear when the parishioner says, "Don't worry about me, I'll be fine," because that person is receiving the gifts of God. And truly, that person will be fine. But often people say these words, "Don't worry, I'll be fine," when they figure that they shouldn't be bothering the pastor, he's too busy, or that their troubles, which may be causing a lot of hurt within themselves, are too small. They figure they're too small to get their pastor involved. But that's precisely why God sends pastors. He knows that you are sheep. He knows that you need to be shepherded. He knows how easy it is for God's people to wander off and become lost. He knows that you need a shepherd who will pray with you and for you. He knows how badly you need to be fed the Word of God. God knows how much you need the body and blood of Christ to strengthen and to nourish you. Why? Why do you need these so much? Why are they to be viewed as of utmost importance, nothing more precious, no greater treasure in this world? The reason is simple. The devil is always on the attack. In our epistle, Peter does not teach us, don't worry, you'll be fine. Now granted, Jesus, of course, does teach you not to worry about food and clothing. And when Jesus says that there in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In today's epistle, St. Peter writes, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith. That's the way of the devil. He wants to devour you. He wants you to be his next victim. Satan does not want you to be comfortable in the Word of God. He wants you to be uncomfortable with it so that you say, don't worry, I don't need it, I'll be fine. This world's prince doesn't want you to rest peacefully in your Savior's loving arms. The devil wants you to become uncertain of the gospel's treasures that you possess in Christ. For the devil is always trying to get you to wander away from that Word of God. And there are many ways in which well-meaning Christians may find themselves wandering away, perhaps not even knowing it. One way is kind of obvious in their neglect of hearing the Word and reception of the Lord's Supper, figuring they'll be fine, there's always another day. Others, wanting to go with the ways of the world, rejecting the Bible's teaching on moral issues. They want to live in unrepentant sin. They do not want to turn from their sin, but continue in it because they figure all is good and that they'll be fine. Others, knowing that they are saved by grace and not by their works, figure that they'll be fine as they do not engage in love or in Christian charity toward their neighbor. They figure that because they've gotten the saving part down, they can get on with their lives. And still others are so confident that they have proved to themselves that they should go to heaven, perhaps because they think that they are really fine, outstanding individuals, that they no longer trust in Christ for their salvation, but they trust in themselves, their own abilities, their own merits, their own strengths, and then they just figure that they are fine. And that's when the devil, the adversary who walks about like a roaring lion, is ready to devour. That's when he has us where he wants us to be, vulnerable when we do not know it, and ready to be consumed. And therefore, he can, or so he thinks, make a quick, clean kill. As Peter says, resist him firm in the faith. How can you be firm in the faith? It is, of course, only when you are shepherded by your good shepherd. And he shepherds you through the word and through the sacraments. You cannot resist him on your own. It is impossible. Remember, Satan didn't even think twice about tempting Jesus. Satan tempted Jesus. He worked overtime to try to get God the Son to slip up and sin. Of course, Satan was unsuccessful. But if he works so hard at Jesus, be certain that he will also work ever so hard on you, since you are a child of God and redeemed by the blood of Christ. But know that you are not alone. Satan's fiery darts, the devil's lies, temptation that is brought on by the world's prince are experienced by all of God's children. Satan, though, wants to make you feel like you are alone, that no one else is suffering the hardship that you are enduring or the grief that you are suffering. Satan works diligently to get you think that no one is tempted as you are tempted. And Satan does this to make you feel like there is nowhere to go and there's no one who can help you, not even your pastor whom God has sent. And so because you feel that, you are tempted to say, "Don't worry, I'll be fine," when you know you're not. But resist Satan and his lies, for you have a place to go. You have help. You are never alone. God has seen it fit for you to have a church and a church family. God has seen it fit to give you an under-shepherd of Christ. Therefore, you do not need to put on some sort of smiling facade when you're here saying, "Don't worry, I'll be fine." For we cannot go it alone, or we will not survive. We cannot think that left to our own devices, we are somehow more cunning than the devil and can somehow outsmart him. On our own, that will not happen. It is simply impossible. Consider the great havoc that the devil inflicts. He works to break up families. He tempts people with shameful vices. He even spins temptation around to look ever so enticing as if it is good. And he lures people to become lost sheep who wander away not even realizing it. That's why we should not pass up offers from our pastor to visit him as we are busy claiming I'll be fine. That's why we should not be missing the divine service assuming I'll be fine. And that's why we should not pass on the Lord's Supper thinking I'll be fine. We are not on our own. We live in a world that is thoroughly corrupt, a broken world, a shattered world, a world filled with temptation, a world where the devil is on the prowl seeking his next victim to devour. And so we need our good shepherd. We need Jesus, our Savior. We need the love and the protection which only he can provide. It is okay for us to admit that we are a truly needy people. It is okay for us to ask for help. Left to our own devices, we would not get that help that we need. It comes from outside of us. When we assume that we're fine without the church and the gifts provided by the church, that's where we quickly can become lost sheep. And so our good shepherd steps in, and he even lifts us up. He restores us. He showers us with his love. He shepherds us to green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. He grants us participation in the one holy Christian and apostolic church. Now, in addition to this way in which we often feel that we're fine, not realizing the devil's ways in which he has with us, there is another way in which sheep often figure that they are fine, but they really need help. And it has to do with what Jesus is saying in today's gospel about repentance. So he was eating with some sinners and tax collectors. He was fellowshipping with them, which scandalized the scribes and the Pharisees. They didn't like the fact that Jesus, who claimed to be a devout man, a believer, a godly person, would associate with people like these sinners or tax collectors. The Pharisees were self-righteous. They figured that they did not need repentance. But when Jesus came to the sinners and tax collectors, he was calling them to repentance, to turn from their sinful ways. And they were receptive to doing so. When we think about Jesus restoring lost sheep, we often think about him going out and bringing someone who is more than ready to be received into Jesus' loving arms. And we wish that it would be that easy. We see someone caught up in a sin. We tell that person that he's sinning like our Lord Jesus no doubt did. That person then says, "You are right. I repent, and we forgive. And there's joy in heaven and on earth when he has repented and received the gospel. But if you notice from life's experience, things often do not go that way. If you notice from life's experience, people by nature are not interested in receiving the forgiveness of sins because they do not want to repent. In fact, by nature, God's people don't even want to be considered children of God. They think they're fine without him. We don't want by nature to be shepherded by him. And so we think we don't need him. We can even go so far to dismiss him by saying, don't worry, I'll be fine. But what Jesus does for the lost sheep in today's gospel is that he seeks it out. It's lost, it may not even know it. And he calls on it and brings it back into his fold. In doing so, he's calling them to repentance. But what we see in this life is that people often don't want to repent. They may not think that they have any need for repentance. Many figure that if they haven't murdered, robbed a business, or cheated on their spouse, then they are without sin. So calling sinners to repentance is actually difficult work because of how people fight back and resist repentance. In fact, sometimes people even go on the attack when they are told to repent. They'll deny their sin and say that we shouldn't worry because they're fine, and tell us who are concerned about their eternal salvation to go away. It's a hard task. It's difficult. It can seem thankless. Think of a sheep. If a sheep has wandered off, that sheep is eating some fresh green grass where no other sheep have trampled down, that sheep may well be enjoying himself. It may well think that it is safe and fine. It may not see the pack of wolves that has now surrounded it and is about to kill it. And suddenly, out of the blue, arrives the shepherd who snatches it up and takes it somewhere else, doesn't still know that the sheep was surrounded by wolves. Do you think that sheep is going to be happy that it left its happy place with the green grass because it was unaware of the danger that it was in? Of course, it's not going to be happy. Many do not realize the danger that they are in when they are caught up in unrepentant sin, or when they dismiss the means of grace, figuring that they're fine without it. When Christians call sinners to repentance, those sinners feel that they were safe and fine without repentance. They don't want to be disrupted, and they don't see the danger. They don't see how lost they've become. What they need to see, though, is that the devil is seeking to devour them, and the good shepherd wants nothing more than to call them to repentance and restore them by the gospel, adding them back into his flock. And look at the joy that comes as Jesus describes it in today's gospel over sinners who repent. He doesn't describe joy when people resist repentance. Instead, he describes the joy that the angels in heaven were having because Jesus had called these sinners and tax collectors to repentance, and they did so. Hear again the words of Jesus from Luke 15. There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, and there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And as God's forgiven people who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we too are filled with great joy when our brothers and our sisters repent, when they receive the gospel, when they are received back into our Lord's fold, into his flock. We do not count their past sins or their past lives against them, but instead we are grateful that as far as the east is from the west, so God has removed their sin from them, and that they have been restored and are brought back into God's family. We cannot be like those self-righteous Pharisees who were angry with Jesus for talking to and eating with the sinners and tax collectors. Instead, let us be filled with joy when we see our brothers and sisters in Christ gathering before the Lord's altar and receiving the body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins, that they have been restored by the gospel. And such a joy it is to be received into God's loving care. Such a privilege it is to have rest in our good shepherd's arms. Such a joy it is to know that our sins are completely taken away by Jesus, who shed his blood on our behalf on the cross. Such joy there is in repentance, and such joy it is to acknowledge that we, who were once lost, are now found. Such joy it is to know that we now have belonging, that we are members of the body of Christ, that we belong to our church and to our good shepherd who laid down his life for us. And when we belong to our family in Christ, when we are members of the body of Christ, then that saying is certainly true. I am at peace. I have no need to worry. I am truly fine. For Christ is with me. He is guiding me ultimately to heaven. And I am in Christ, and he abides in me. He will protect me, and he will shield me. And he has given me access to my Father, who is in heaven. Truly, we are fine in Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.